Welcome back to Tawadi Mechanech Yomi with the OUMENS Initiative. My name is Micha Horowitz. Today we'll continue our study of Sefer Shoftim. We are up to Perek Yud Gimel. Perek Yud Gimel introduces us to Perek Yud Gimel focuses on a very different theme than the Prakim we've been studying until now. It's a quiet Perek. It's a miraculous Perek. It's a restorative Perek. And it's a calming and beautiful parak. I'll give you the introduction, just two sentences from the Steindelt's Nevi'im. Up to this point, the book has dealt meaning in Sefer Shoftim has dealt mainly with enemies from the east, the Moabites, Midianites, and Ammonites, who harassed the tribes east of the Jordan and subsequently invaded the territory west of the Jordan as well. Now the Plishtim arise from the west, mainly along the border of the tribal territory of Dan. That's what I'm quoting from the Steinsaltz Ketuvim, but now I'm moving to the introduction of the... Why did I say Ketuvim? That's because last time I told us Mishlei and Tehillim. I'm now moving to the Stein... That's from the Steinsaltz Nevi'im, and now I'm moving to the Artskol Nevi'im. So that's the introduction. The introduction is a new kind of enemy is going to rise. Instead of an enemy on Eivre LeYarden who moves into Eretz Yisrael proper, we now have the Plishtim in the north, bordering the region of Dan. Art School Nevi'im teaches, with this chapter, a new phenomenon develops. Up to this point, Israel's sins would lead to foreign domination, followed by Teshuvah, the emergence of a Shofet who would lead the people to defeat and expel the enemy. In this new period in Sefer Shoftim, the people's spiritual descent was so serious, they did not merit complete salvation. Nevertheless, God did not wish that the Plishtim go completely unpunished, though the Plishtim would not be vanquished. God, in his mercy, wanted their aggressiveness to be curbed. The new Shofet we're about to meet is Shamshon. He becomes God's agent to accomplish this. And that's who we're going to meet in this parak. Samson himself was a great man with the potential to become a historic savior, according to Midrash Bereishis Rabbah, but the nation's unworthiness was such that he was not given the mission to mobilize the nation behind him, as had the Shoftim before him. Endowed with superhuman strength, Samson frightened the Philistine conquerors and thereby tempted their persecution, but he could not remove them. In fact, the Philistines continued to control the land until the reign of King Shaul and King David. There was another aspect of his mission as well. Had he been the publicly acknowledged judge of the people and acted on their behalf, as the judges before him, the Plishtim would have avenged themselves against the helpless Jews. To avoid this, Samson had to act alone as an individual, not a representative of the entire nation, and thereby not give the Philistines, Plishtim, a pretext to retaliate against the masses of Jews for what he, Samson, would do. So this is an overview of the personality that we are about to meet. His birth is very miraculous. There's an angel that appears to his parents. Let's get started in the Perek. Perek Yud Gimel Pasuk Aleph. We are introduced as follows. Vayesifu b'nei Yisrael lasos harab b'nei Hashem. Vayitneim Hashem b'yad plishtim arba'im shana. The children of Israel continued to do bad, sin, avodah zarah, stray away from God in the eyes of God. And God gave them into the hands of plishtim for 40 years. Pasuk Beis. Vayish echad mitzara'a v'mishpachas hadani u'shmo manoach. V'ishto akara v'lo yalada. There was a certain man from this town of Tzora, from the family of Dan, and his name was Manoach, and his wife was barren. She did not have children. An angel of God appears to the woman, and he says to her, behold, until now you have been barren. You have not conceived. You have not given birth. However, you are about to conceive. You will give birth to a son. And the first instruction he gives her, I'm in Pasuk Dalana. And now, Hishamina, please be very careful. Alva al tishti yayin v'sheicher. You may not drink wine or hard drink. Al tochli kol tameh. Anything, any kind of wine or intoxicating drink produced from grapes, you cannot consume. a drink, and you may not eat anything that is impure. Ki hin chahara, because you are going to conceive, and when you are pregnant, v'lo adet ben yogav birta san, umara lo yala al rosho, a razor shall not come upon his head. Ki nizir elokim yehanar min abeten, because the child you are carrying will be a nazir from the womb. V'hu yachalo shi'as yisrael mi'ad plishim, and it is he who will begin to save Israel from the hands of the plishim. And the woman comes home, Pasuk Vav, and she says to her husband, you're not going to believe this. A godly man came to me, and his appearance was like the appearance of an angel, like an angel of God. Very awesome. I didn't ask him, where are you from? I didn't ask him, and he didn't tell me his name. Vayomerli, and he said to me, behold, you will conceive, you will have a son, and I may not drink wine. He told me, don't drink wine, don't drink hard drink made from grapes. Don't eat any impurities, because your child will be a Nazir for Hashem from the womb until the day of his death. I thought of something very interesting when I was preparing this. It's interesting that the Malach of Hashem tells her that she cannot drink any alcohol. You know, all wisdom is encompassed in the Torah, whether we recognize it or not. And what more modern-day science has taught us, meaning not 3,000 years ago, but what more modern-day science has taught us is that, of course, alcohol is very dangerous for a pregnant woman. Today, we know that. I'm not sure that they knew that 1,000 years ago or 2,000 years ago or 600 years ago, but it's very, very interesting that, okay, here it's because he'll be a Nazir all the days of his life from the time of his conception in the womb. But I think that there's another lesson here. The Torah is teaching us a health lesson, a science lesson, a pregnancy lesson. The Torah is telling you that a pregnant woman should not be drinking alcohol. I understand that this is not the pshat. The pshat is that he'll be a Nazir, and therefore you should not drink any kind of alcohol, any beverage made from grapes. But I do think that there's another lesson here, which is that the Torah is teaching us that Torah comes way before modern day science, and the Torah says it's not healthy for a pregnant woman to drink wine. You shall stay away from wine, and stay away from wine, and certainly anything impure called tameh, a pregnant woman should stay away from as well. Okay, Pasuk Ches, very interesting. Vayetar Manoach el Hashem. Manoach daven to Hashem. Vayomer, after his wife gives him this report, what happens? Vayetar Manoach el Hashem. Vayomer, bi Hashem, isha lokim asher shalachta yavona, oreleinu, v'yoreinu manasa lenar hayulad. Manoach daven to Hashem. And he says, please Hashem, the man of God that you sent us, let him come again and let him instruct us what we should do with this child who will be born. Now, it is very interesting that the lashon used for tefillah, I'm in Perek Yudgimel Pasuk Ches, is vayetar, from the root word etar, ayin tov resh. Where do we know this word from? Vayetar Manoach el Hashem. In the beginning of Parshas Toldos, Perek Chav Hei of Sefer Bereishis, vayetar Yitzhak laHashem lenochach ishto ki akarahi. You have a barren woman, meaning Rivka, who is not able to conceive and does not have children, and her husband davens for her. And do you know what lashon is used for tefillah by Yitzchak and Rivka? Vayetar Yitzchak laHashem lenochach ishto ki akarahi, vayetar Manoach el Hashem. Now, eter, Chazal explained there, by Yitzchak, ayin tov resh, is a gardening tool, a shovel or a spade. Why is this form of tefillah called after a gardening tool, shovel or spade? An eter is used for turning over a pile of grain or a pile of dirt from top to bottom. If you take a spade or a shovel and you put it into the ground, what's going to happen to the dirt that was below? You put in the spade and you pick it up and you bring it up. The dirt that was below will be on top, and the dirt that was on top will be below. The grain that was on the bottom will be on top. The grain that was on top will be below. That is what eter is. Eter is a kind of tefillah that turns over a gezerah, the midas achzarius of a kodesh baruch hu, to midas harachamim. I mean, this is what the mefarshim explain. And therefore, Yitzchak daven with the lashon eter. It appears by the Makos repeatedly, which is a whole other shir. Why Paro asked Moshe to daven with Lashon Eter. Moshe davens with Lashon Eter. But Eter is a tefillah to turn over gzeira from Midas Achzarius, Midas of cruelty, so to speak, to Midas Rachamim. And it is specifically used by Yitzchak when his wife is barren, because Alpi Teva, Rivka Shanat of children. Same thing here. This woman has been barren for many years. Alpi Teva, she does not deserve to, she does not able to have children. Manoach can't even believe that after all this time his wife is going to conceive. Remember, he did not see the Malach Hashem. Only she saw the Malach Hashem. So when he hears this report and he goes to daven, what lashon is it? Lashon Eter, exactly by Yitzchak. Let's go on. Vayishma Elokim b'kol menorach. These psukim are unbelievably evocative of what we see in Bereishis Parshas Todos. In Parshas Todos, we're told Vayeter Yitzchak l'Hashem menorach ishto ki akarati Vayeter lo Hashem. Yitzchak daven with the koch of Eter to Hashem opposite his wife because she was barren. Vayeter lo Hashem. Hashem allowed himself to be entreated and accepted Yitzchak's tefillas. What are we told here? Vayishma Elokim b'kol menorach. The parallels between these two stories dealing with a husband davening for a barren wife are unbelievably similar. And Elokim heard the call of Manoach, and the Malach of Hashem appeared again to the woman, and she was sitting in the field. But Manoach, her husband, was not with her. So she hurries up, Pasuk Yud, and she runs, and she tells her husband, and she says to him, you're not going to believe it. She doesn't say that I said that. She says to him, behold, this man appeared to me again. And Manoach gets up, and he goes after his wife, and he comes to the man who is waiting for them in the field, presumably, and he says, Ha'ata ha'ish asher dibarta ala isha vayomarani. He says, are you the one who previously spoke to my wife? He says, yes, I am. Vayomar Manoach, and Manoach said, Ata yivod varecha, ma'ya mishpat hanar masu. So now, let's hear your word. What will be the judgment? What will happen with this child? What will be his deeds? Pasuk Yud Gimel. Vayomar Malach Hashem Manoach, mikol asher amarti al isha tishmer. Everything I told this woman, be very careful to do. Mikol asher yatzei mi Geffen, and he repeats anything that is derived from grapes, any kind of wine derived from grapes, she's not allowed to eat, and wine and hard drink derived from grapes, she should not drink, and any kind of impurity, she cannot eat. Everything that I commanded, she must do. And Manoach said to the angel of God, and then he wants to make him a meal. I have to skip a little, even though the whole parak is so beautiful. I have to paraphrase a little. Manoach wants to make the angel a meal, and the angel says to Manoach, I'm not going to even eat your food, even if you hold me up here. Even if you prepare for me a burnt offering, I'm not going to eat it. You should offer it up as a korban to Hashem. He says, I'm a malach. And the malach Hashem says, don't hold me back here. I'm not going to eat your bread. If you make an ola to Hashem, so make an ola to Hashem. Manoach at this point still does not know that he is a malach of Hashem. They think he's a godly man. However, lo yada Manoach ki malach Hashem u Manoach still does not realize that he is actually an angel of God. And then Pasuk Yud Zayin, Vayomer Manoach al Malach Hashem, Mi Shemecha, Ki Yavo Dvarecha V'chi Bad Nucha. Manoach now asks this angel, he doesn't know it's an angel, a question. What is your name? Mi Shemecha. What is your name? Why? Ki Yavo Dvarecha, when your words come true, V'chi Ba denucha, we will give you honor, meaning we'll publicize that your words came true and it will be honorable for you. This should also be very familiar to you from a different one of the avot, this exchange. The Malach of Hashem says, why do you ask my name? Where do we know this from? Yaakov Avinu, Paraglamid Beis, by the river Yabok. Yaakov has a fight all night long with the Sar Shal Esav, a mysterious Ish. Here too, he is identified as an ish. It is an ish that appears to Manoach and his wife. It is an ish that appears to Yaakov as he is all alone on the river Yabok. Of course, the instances of the angel are different. An angel is fighting with Yaakov, but he's doing a shaliach of Hashem. An angel is coming to be mevasor to Manoach and his wife that they will have a child. But in both cases, it's described as an ish. Manoach says, Mishemecha, what is your name? Yaakov says, Hagida Nishemecha, please tell me your name. The angel says to Manoach, Lama zeh tishal lishmi, why do you ask my name? The angel says to Yaakov, Lama zeh tishal lishmi. I mean, it's almost like literally the exact same words. Okay, I'm comparing, just look at the end of Perek Lama Beis. Tanakh is just so absolutely incredible. We already see a strong comparison between Yitzchak and Rivka, Manoach and his wife, the form of tefillah that both husbands employ. And now we see such a strong parallel and a comparison. It's just incredible. I mean, it's clearly not an accident because nothing in Tanakh is an accident between Yaakov and his ish, Manoach and his ish, the blessing of Yaakov's angel, the blessing of Manoach's angel. And Yaakov says, Hagidin Hashemecha. Manoach says, Mi Shemecha. Yaakov's angel says, Lama zeh tish'al lishmi. Manoach's angel says, Lama zeh tish'al lishmi. I was thinking to myself an interesting thought. Now, these angels are very different. One is trying to destroy Yaakov, and one is trying to build up Knesset Yisrael. However, one will build up Knesset Yisrael with his brachas, with ultimately the birth of the miraculous child. However, I was saying to myself, these are both emissaries of God. And both respond to the question, or both Yaakov and Manoach says, what is your name? And the angel responds to both of them the exact same words, literally. Lama zetish alishmi. Why do you ask for my name? Maybe the message of Hashem is here. The angel saying, don't worry about my name. Don't worry about my tafke. Don't worry about why God sent me. You have to know your name. Every Jew has to know why he is in this world. What is your mission? What is your purpose? Why did Hashem put you here? The shame are the middle two letters of the word neshama. Nun shin mem hei. Nun and hei stand for nerasham, and the middle two letters are shame. A person's name defines their essence. A person's given, lashon hakodesh, Hebrew name, defines their mission and who they are in this world. You have to search deep inside yourself and find out why you're here. Don't worry about why I'm here. I'm fulfilling what's in Hashem. Do you know your name? Don't ask me my name, but find your essence. Do you know who you are? What is your name? In both cases, the angel says, Lama zatish alishmi? Manoach takes a sacrifice, an offering, gedi ha'izim, young goats, which also is reminiscent of Rivka, when she encourages Yaakov to go get the blessings. We're running out of time, so I better finish this up. It's such a beautiful pasuk. Manoach takes this parak. Manoach takes this young goat and a meal offering. He offers it up on a rock to Hashem, and the angel does something unbelievable. What does he do? In the fire, when a fire comes down, pasuk chaf, vayihi, Baha'alos halahav me'alam izbecha shamayma v'ya'al malach Hashem b'lahav amizbech. When the Ola offering goes up in a flame towards heaven, the angel of Hashem went up in the flame. U'menoch v'ishto ro'im v'yipla p'nei v'artza. U'menoch and his wife see this and they can't imagine. They don't understand what just happened. The angel just went up. They realize it's an angel. He went up to heaven in the flame. V'lo yasaf od malach Hashem there. Oh, Menoch v'ishto. The angel did not appear again to Menoch and his wife. And Manoach knew that he was an angel of God. And Manoach says, we are surely going to die. We saw God. This too is reminiscent of what Yaakov Avinu says after the fight with the angel. Yaakov says, Paraklamat base Pasuk Lamed Aleph, Vayikra Yaakov, Shemem Akon Peniel, Kira Isi Elokim, Panim El Panim, Vatinatzel Navshi. He calls the place Peniel because he says, I've seen God face to face and my soul was saved. The implication being, most people who see an angel of God or God face to face, their soul is not saved. So the fact that Yaakov Avinu said, my soul is saved, indicates he thought he might die from seeing an angel of God. So too, Manoach says to his wife, we've seen God and we're going to die. And it's so interesting, just like the son Samson, who's going to be born, Shimshon, who's going to be born, will be the savior of Israel. So too, from Yaakov's loins comes Yehuda, the tribe of Malchus, comes Yisachar, the tribe of Torah, comes Yosef, the savior for the Shvatim. So in both of these encounters with the angel, but the key is that a person has to know their own name. Don't worry about my name, says Malach Hashem. Do you know who you are? Do you know your essence? Do you know what God wants from me? Do you know why you're in this world? Salvechuk says, every person has a tafket. Not every person knows what a tafkid is. That's a different story. But no such thing as a person comes without a tafkid. The Malach is saying, I'm doing my job, but you have to do your own job. And both Manoach and Yaakov Avinu think, we're going to die because we saw God. And his wise wife says to him, no, if God had wanted to kill us, he would not have taken the Ola and the Mincha. Right? He accepted our offerings. If he wanted to kill us, he would have killed us. But we're not dead, so apparently God did not want to kill us. Pasuk of Dalid, Vateinid Ha'isha Ben Vatikra Shmo Shimshon. Samson is now born, and the woman gives birth to a son, and she calls his name Shimshon. Vayigdal Hanar Vayivarcheyu Hashem. The lad grows up, and Hashem blesses him. I just want to comment on the name Shimshon for a minute. I'm quoting from the Art School Navim. According to the sages of Masechah Sota, she gave him a name that alluded to God. The first three letters, Shin Mem Shin, mean son. Hashem is referred to as the sun in Tehillim, Pei Dalid. Maharsha comments that the sun's rays can be harmful or beneficial. Thus, Samson, Shimshon's name, alludes to the sun because his activities were helpful for Israel and punishing for Plishtim. The Nun at the end of his name alludes to the possessive form. He was the sun and shield of Israel. His mother named him because she had been informed of his mission. According to the Abar Banel, she alluded to his future task as a lifelong servant of God. Why? Because it can also be traced like a shamash, someone who serves. And he was one who would serve God. Hey, I know this recording was a little bit longer. I'm sorry, there were a lot of lessons and a lot of comparisons to others that we had to learn. Rabbi Torah, I don't have time to comment, but it's incredible that the word pa'amo is used here. Like we have that by power. It's like a bell, a clapper. He is stirred. Vati pa'emrucho, pa'amon v'rimon, pa'ron v'rimon, the me'il and the bells along the me'il, the mishkan, the begadim of the Kohen Gadol. The Spirit of God is agitating within him. The Spirit of God is knocking. The Spirit of God is like a bell that's ringing inside of him. And it takes him to the camp of Dan. And now we are told his location. He is between Ta'ara and Esh Ta'al. And the parak ends. We will continue tomorrow. I apologize for going over, but not really, because Torah is so beautiful. Thank you for tzadding together. Lilu and Ishamani Malteno, Yikarod, Esther Oppenheimer, Lalsham, and Sarah Shankar, Lalsham, each deeply devoted and proud to transmit their family's Torah legacy to the next generations. I look forward to continuing tomorrow. Kol Tov, and thank you to all.